WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Now I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this. The result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
While Clemson and LSU go back and back and back and back and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, we're here to talk about Monday Night Raw, the Raw Post Show Live, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sirach, and that's Lindsay Ward.
I'm just, like, so overloaded right now, it's not funny. Because all I have done all night is go back and forth between two screens, watching two different things, and I'm pretty sure they're really mixed up inside my head right now.
Okay, so we need to talk about my favorite thing of the night, and this may have been your favorite thing of the night. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
Is when WWE Champion Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman came to the ring. Paul Heyman's doing his introduction. He calls them names, and, you know, they still cheer, do his introduction. They leave. They chant, "You suck," so they leave. My client doesn't suck. And Heyman says, "We're going to start over." He does it, and he does the introductions. He says, he recalls saying it was not a prediction, it's a spoiler. Heyman said there's a streak going on WWE, perhaps the greatest of all time. Heyman said that there was another streak, but it was conquered by Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 30. Heyman said his spoilers are the new streak, and they all come to light. Heyman said Lesnar will dominate, eviscerate, and conquer in the Royal Rumble. He said 29 other men will understand that his spoilers shall set you free. Basically, he's talking about the truth shall set you free. He kept saying the word truth. Out came our truth.
Ask and you shall receive. I mean, you know, you keep summoning truth. Eventually he will show up.
And he's like, "I'm glad you called me out here, Paul. I'm about to set it off." He said, "Lesnar might be the favorite to win the Royal Rumble, but my childhood hero, John Cena, taught him to never give up." He said, "For the first time ever, the 24/7, 365, Lexington, Kentucky, I-95 South TV European champion is officially declaring for the Royal Rumble." Brock Lesnar is in the back smirking, and they're running, and they're running, and they're running. He goes, R-Truth goes, "You may be a big, big, big man, but I know you will go flying over that top rope, Paul Heyman." I started laughing, and Paul's like, "What? What are you talking about?"
Brock could not contain himself.
No, he couldn't.
Like, Brock just, like, lost it.
And then Heyman says, "Look here, Bongit." Heyman then told him, "He's not in the Rumble. It's Brock Lesnar's in the Rumble." And Truth is like, "My bad." And then he's officially the 24/7 I-95 South European TV whatever champion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is officially undeclaring for the Royal Rumble. Lesnar continues just laughing. Truth said he wasn't listening to Paul Heyman because all he does is talk and talk and talk, and that's a sleeping imitation. And, you know, he gives away all the spoilers, and Truth doesn't like spoilers. Truth said he doesn't want to enter the Rumble, and he doesn't want Lesnar to take him to Sioux Falls City. And then it's corrected as it's Suplex City. And the Truth goes, I have one question for you. What's up? And then he does his little dance and everything like that. Brock's laughing. And then Truth got clotheslined and F5. Then Lesnar picked up the 24/7 title, looked at it, and tossed it on Truth and going, that's what's up.
This is really good. This was really funny.
It was my favorite segment of the show.
I enjoyed this a lot. I was honestly waiting for Brock to pin Truth and take the 24/7 title, and that's it. Like, that's the end of it. They get rid of it that way. Because it, like, just never, ever comes back. Like, Brock just goes to the Rumble and it doesn't show up. He just forgets it. Mm-hmm. And we all just sadly remember that Brock Lesnar is the 24/7 champion and he never lost the title.
Yeah. But this was a really good segment. The follow-up to it was Mojo ran out afterwards and then beat R-Truth to become 24/7 champion. Yay.
Yay.
Speaking of Mojo, he was in a match against Ricochet. He lost that match earlier in the night. So there you go.
Very sad.
So Randy Orton opened the show. He's, you know, was told to go out there and tell everyone excitedly that he's, you know, they're here on Monday Night Raw. He called out AJ. They're both talking about they're going to win the Rumble. Drew McIntyre says he's going to win the Royal Rumble. So they were having an RKO measuring contest, and then McIntyre, like, my claymore is bigger. Get it? And it turned into a triple threat match. Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton, AJ Styles, really good, which saw Drew McIntyre pick up the win.
Proving that his claymore was, in fact, the biggest.
He did have the biggest of them all. Follow-up to last week, Charlotte and Sarah Logan had a quick little match. Charlotte got the win. Fine. Charlotte, you know, made it a point, attacked her afterwards, and tossed her over the top rope, because, you know, she's going to win the Royal Rumble.
It was a statement.
It was indeed a statement.
Speaking of a statement, score update in the national championship game. LSU just scored yet another TD, and they are up 34-25.
With plenty of time to go.
Plenty of football left to play, but Clemson's not picking up steam. They're kind of running out. I wonder if they can withstand.
So it was Bobby Lashley with Lana taking on Rusev. Solid match. Good. It was good. One, what was Lana wearing?
That was the weirdest goddamn pencil skirt I've ever seen in my life. Like, I don't even know what was up with that. I really, really don't. Like, it was cute. Don't get me wrong. It was really super cute. But the skirt was really distracting because it was like where the waist was and where the slits were, there wasn't enough skirt in between. So the slits were like stretched out because her thighs are so muscular that like the skirt could not contain the thighs. And so like it was sitting really weird on her hips and her thighs. Like it didn't look right. And I don't know if that's the way you're supposed to wear it or that's just what happened, but it looked weird. Like it's the weirdest pencil skirt I've ever seen in my life.
It was really odd. So there was that. Liv came out. She and Lana got into it. She got a drink thrown in her face, allowed Rusev to get speared and Lashley to get the win.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
I brought this up when we were watching the show, and I have to ask this. What the hell does this version of Liv Morgan have to do with the Liv Morgan in the bathtub? Somebody please, other than the bathtub was the visual metaphor for the fact that she's cleansed and now she's emo. Like, I'm not quite sure how that all ties together.
I don't think we're supposed to know why it ties together.
But it should tie together. Like, if you're going to have her get naked on national television and sit in a bathtub and then look like be screwing around in her bathroom, something should, like, tie back to what she's doing now, right? And the only tweener we have is her at the wedding. So was she getting ready for Lana's wedding? Is that what she was doing? Like, she was going to crash it, and now she's all cleansed, and she's ready to go, and she's feuding with Lana? Like, I need an explanation because none of this is making sense. Just saying.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Wait, are they going to call it back?
They're reviewing it. Anyway.
Touchdown.
Is it a touchdown?
It is a touchdown. Right. It is, in fact, a touchdown.
Good to know. Anyway, so there was that. It's going to lead to a mixed tag team matchup next week. Lana and Rusev versus Lana and Lashley versus Rusev and Liv Morgan. So that should be interesting. We'll see how that comes all together.
We'll see.
The Viking Raiders beat the Singh Brothers.
I love the Singh Brothers energy. I really, 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 really do.
They have a lot of it.
They have a lot of it. I love their entrance. They're so happy. It's so nice. And then they died. And it was a little sad, but the Viking Raiders look super good.
So it was time for contract signing, Asuka and Becky Lynch. Becky was just very not herself. She just said, made the best man win. Asuka was, you know, but made the best woman win. She was yelling in Japanese with Asuka. And then she sprayed Becky in the face with the mist.
I love the cell on the mist. I love that they basically treated it like acid. Like, that was super nice.
It was. And then Becky's, like, getting her eyes flushed, and the trainers are trying to help her. And then she's like, give me the mic. She said, when they give you awards, money, and acclaim, it's poison for someone who fights for a living. Lynch says, Asuka's hungry and angry. She says, Asuka's the most dangerous woman she's ever faced. They've been, you know, trying to keep her away. But she said, if she's going to lose, she'll go down swinging at the Royal Rumble and take Asuka with her. It's a good promo. I enjoyed it.
It was a great promo. I like how they're building this. I like how they're telling that story. You know, they're making Asuka look super badass. They're making Becky look super badass. Poor Kari isn't getting much limelight, but sadly it's not about her. Hopefully Kari gets her turn next.
We got the setup for Rey Mysterio and Andrade in a ladder match for the US title next week. Should be fun.
Should be really fun.
Aleister Black and Buddy Murphy had a hell of a match, which is not really surprising that they had a hell of a match.
Except Buddy Murphy was really confused by the end of it. I think we all were.
Because there
was a little thing that happened at the end of the match where basically Aleister did the black mass. Buddy goes down in a heap and the ref is counting. And I think Buddy was supposed to kick out and he didn't kick out because you see the ref come down and go 1, 2. And then he stops halfway to 3 and then is like, wait, no. His shoulders are up. Even though Buddy's shoulders are really clearly not up. And they basically redo the spot again, where this time Aleister gets the pin. Where he, like, gives the black mask to Buddy on his knees, and then he pins Buddy for the win. But it was just really, it was not a good spot. Like, it was not a good ending. It was a little awkward. And then what made it worse was Buddy Murphy just sat at ringside the rest of the night.
He's
utterly confused.
Yeah.
And dumbfounded. Like, nobody went out there and said, you know, maybe he should go to the back. Nobody tried to help him. They
Charlie
just
did.
Left him there.
Charlie did.
Charlie tried, but he was like, what? No, you go away now. So that made the main event.
But before we got to the main event, Eric Rowan had beat some dude, and he was sitting there the entire time, and then Eric was trying to show whatever's in the cage to the dude, and the thing in the cage bit Eric.
And bloodied his mm-hmm. hand.
It did.
Best part of this was the ref put on the blood gloves for this.
It was great. Then it was your main event. It was the WWE first ever fist fight that didn't have a lot of fists. Basically, last man standing matchup with 6 men in it. Kevin Owens scaling up the side of the entrance wall to do a flip. Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
He used the skate ramp to just the half pipe just to do it. I think, which was cool. But Team Kevin Owens got their asses kicked, basically. They got put, Owens and Samoa Joe got put through a table, and then Big Show got mauled by not 3 men, but 4 men, because at one point, Rollins, when they were in trouble, was like, Buddy, help us! Help us, Buddy! Help us! And then Buddy came in the ring, low blowed Big Show, and it was a 4-on-1 beatdown. And then after the match, as the ball gets picked off, they hugged. After the referee called for the bell, Seth and Buddy embraced. Like, come here, my son. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the cult.
Basically, that's what happened.
That's
basically. And we were all like, meanwhile, the football game is like 28-25, I think, or something ridiculous like that. Or it was really, really
it was close.
Mm-hmm. And we're all sitting here, right? Or at least Rock and I are sitting here. I have my finger on the button. I'm like, okay, is something going to happen? Is something going to happen?
Waiting for it.
Nope. Switch. Like, it was just... I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this ending, because you were kind of waiting and wanting a little bit more. Like, this match was what it was, and I like that they didn't do the obvious thing, which is you put Seth Rollins in the ring with 5 beefy men. What the hell is going to happen there? You know, I understand 2 of them are supposed to be defending him, but still, it's Seth and 5 big guys. The obvious thing is somebody gets knocked out by Big Show, right? That's the obvious thing. So the fact that you had Seth... and AOP beat Big Show and Kevin and
Joe.
I'm blanking on the last name.
Joe.
What's the last name? Who?
Joe.
Joe, thank you. God, how can I forget Joe? Anyway, the fact that you had Seth and AOP beat those three, and then you had Buddy Murphy join them should have been, like, a lot. But it's just, like, I don't know, it's a little underwhelming to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the whole thing was just a little underwhelming. And I think maybe it's just because I was so distracted at that point because of what was going on in the football game. And I understand I'm supposed to be watching wrestling and I'm supposed to be enjoying wrestling, but it's the national championship. It only happens once a year, and it's a really... Or at that point, it was a really tight game. It still kind of is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I don't know, it just the ending to Raw left me a little underwhelmed.
A little underwhelming, but it was also, it was good elevation for Buddy Murphy.
It was great elevation for Buddy Murphy. It's wonderful exposure, and the fact that they're rebuilding him and they're putting him out there is wonderful. Like, I love that so much, but it was just tonight, it was like, whatever. Also, I need to ask this question. Where the hell is Seth's other glove? I know I've asked this before, but he has the money. So did he, like, lose it in the dryer? Did he leave it on a plane? Did he leave it at Becky's house? Did he just not buy one? Like, where is the match to his other glove? Because I'm sorry, he looks kind of stupid running around with one glove. But can we please get the boy a second glove that goes on his other hand?
Well, it's protecting his broken finger.
Well, that's fine. Get a match set. You can protect your broken finger. I don't care. But there was a match to that glove, and it's not like you're hurting for the cash to go buy another one. Go to Dollar Tree. Get you another black glove. It'll be fine. That's all I'm saying. Like, he just looks a little silly running around with one black glove.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that does it for us.
I think somebody did something because I heard stickers.
Yeah, Quatch is the host on this thing. Thanks.
Thanks, Quatch.
We're ending. Sorry. Anyway, this has been the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thursday night, we're taking you down the road of a decade. Yes, a decade in review of professional wrestling on the rack and other things. Right.
Yes, we're doing a decade in review. We're doing news, notes, NXT, all your favorites. It's The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com. I was sitting here trying to silently laugh because they showed the student sections for Clemson and they showed the student sections for LSU, right? And of course, LSU is like super into it, right? Because they're winning. And meanwhile, Clemson is just standing there, hands in their pockets. Like, God damn it. I flew all this way for nothing. And then they're wearing scarves and a dome. Why are you wearing a scarf and a dome? It's heated. It's not even that cold. It's like 70 out there or something.
By the way, yeah, the Royal Rumble entry contest is underway. If you'd like to be a part of it, email us or Facebook us, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, facebook.com/groups/WildTalkRadioNetwork, or tweet us at WildTalkRadio. We're saying in chat, hey, I won in the entry contest. We'll put your name on the list because we're doing the drawing this Sunday on WrestleTalkRadio. Saturday night, midnight edition. It's another edition of CB Radio, CBRadioLive.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio previews the Royal Rumble, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show. It's the go-home to the Royal Rumble for Monday Night Raw. It's at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Follow and subscribe, twitch.tv/WTRLive. If Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free. Also, use credit code RocketSock in the Epic Games Store or the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad, hashtag Epic Partner. Go.
Oh my god, you just caught me, like, in the middle of, like, a giant yawn. Anyway, you can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, L-I-N-S-W-A-R-D. And when I do stream, you can go over to twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward, same as the Twitter, and check it out there.
Thanks to MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday night for The Rock. We're right back here for the Raw Post Show. Streaming live along the RSL of Wild Talk Radio Network, twitch.tv/WTLive, and wildtalkradio.com.
Wildtalkradio.com.